This is Sydney.
And I'm Cher. And each week we get together to share with you a message of hope.
It is through our own study and our personal experiences that we offer the reminder to not only seek the light,
but be the light. You can find peace, and there is hope.
And as long as one of us is slightly caffeinated, there will be laughter.
Today's topic is building better relationships.
And we're so glad you're here.
I'm forging my way through the tip-tip-top. I'm living my life through the drip-drip-drop.
All right, Sydney, give us your wisdom on how to build better relationships.
Well, let's just stop at wisdom, but I'll talk anyway. So take wisdom out of the equation and I will talk to you about relationships.
I think that was a wise move, throwing wisdom out, because I don't think you and I have much of that.
I don't like that you put me in the category of that.
You just threw it out. I didn't throw it out. You threw it out first.
I just want to say it about myself. I don't want someone else to agree. I was fishing for a compliment.
Oh, okay. Sydney.
Yes.
I think you need to leave wisdom in because you are so wise.
My brain went along with what you were saying right now because it's what I wanted to hear.
Well, this is how you build better relationships, is you are communicating what you want me to say.
Yes. What was the question?
I will leave wisdom out. Sydney, how can we build better relationships?
All right. Let me use my wisdom on this one. And my wisdom usually comes from YouTube. Is that good?
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
Thank you. YouTube has
all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard.
I think, though, truly, that it starts with the man in the mirror. Yourself. In order to connect with others, you have to be connected to yourself. You have to get to know yourself and know what you like and know what's important to you so that you can attract that kind of person.
Exactly. Because whatever you send out, that's what you're going to get back. So whatever friend that you would like in your life, you need to be that friend first. And then you will usually get that back.
Yes. And sometimes it takes a little bit longer, but I was actually listening to Steve Harvey talk about a story. He wasn't talking about this, but I thought it could apply. He was talking about a time with his mom that he wanted a new car every day. He's like, I'm going to get a new car. And she's like, you have your old car in the back. It's on those bricks. And he would say, I know I have an old car in the back on bricks. That's why I want a new car. And she's like, well, you have an old one out there on the bricks. And he did not understand why she said that every single day. He'd leave for work. I'm going to go get a new car. Yep, you have an old one out there on the bricks. And one day he said, you've got to level with me. Why do you keep talking about my old car when I want a new one? And she said, Steve, it's because you don't have room for a new one because your old one is in the back. And it came to him that he could not receive what he wanted because he had not yet removed what he didn't want. And so he called up a buddy, they towed it away, he removed those bricks and he got a new car and had a place for it. And I thought that it can apply because there's so much that we want in our lives, but we're not ready to receive it because we haven't removed what we don't want yet. And I've seen this with some friends who maybe they made a lot of poor choices in the beginning of their life. And they've had to completely move away from where they were because that's what they were known for. And they've had to not only remove from themselves something, but actually physically get up and move so that they could start attracting the kind of life that they wanted.
So they had to move their whole environment.
Entire environment so they could be ready to receive what they actually wanted. And I think that to tie it back to connecting with yourself, you really do need to know what you want. You absolutely have to sit still and figure out what do you want? What kind of person do you want to be? And then what do you need to do to start being that kind of a person? Because it's hard to find yourself and figure out who you are. And it's hard to find friends. And I thought I was going to be done with that, but
it just keeps going.
It just keeps going.
Actually, going back to what you said about figuring out who you are and what kind of friend you wanted to be, that reminded me when I was in high school. I really started paying attention to my teachers so that I could figure out what kind of teacher that I wanted to be because I knew that I was going in that direction. And so I started to take mental notes of, I really like this, I really don't like this, and trying to figure out who I wanted to be as a teacher. But really what I was doing is I was figuring out what kind of relationships I wanted to build with my students. In fact, as a teacher, I taught 7th, 8th, and 9th graders my entire teaching career, and it's all about building relationships. Because if you could build a positive relationship with a 7th, 8th, or 9th grader, I could get them to do their work So they're going to end up with a good grade. But in their brain, they're doing it for me, to make me happy, because we had built that connection. I tried to build a relationship with my students through humor, through showing them that I cared about them. Sometimes I would get a chair and just sit down by them, and I would just talk to them and find out what was going on. And another thing is learning how to read the room. And I could tell if the class as a whole was grumpy or just a student. And then I could ask them, hey, what's going on? And that is something that I learned to do over the years. And that is the number one thing. Anyone that wants to be a teacher, the number one thing you can do is to build relationships with your students. So if you take that idea in what I would say my real life, in building relationships with coworkers or close friends, family, take those same skills and roll it over into your real life, because that really is the most important thing, is building relationships with people around you.
I love that, because we're starting off talking about you have to have a connection with yourself first. That's really critical. But then it starts with us, and then we have our circle that grows. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing to do is to work on the inside and work your way out.
I agree, because that's what I did before I started teaching when I was in high school, is I was trying to figure out what kind of a teacher I wanted to be. What kind of relationship did I want to create with those students? It started with me. And that's the key, is it always starts with you. Not everybody else, but you.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm really connecting with this because I watched how mothers took care of their children and what their relationships were like, so that I could be that kind of mother, because that was my number one dream, was to be a mom. And I wanted to be a certain kind of mom. So I would watch moms interact with their children.
That's really good that you did that, because that is so important. And it's good to learn from other people, the good and the bad, to figure out the kind of person that you want to be.
Right. And this actually makes me think of last night, Iana, she's 7, my daughter. She said, I just want to be with you because I know you will be nice. And it was this full circle for me. I know this is really simple. I know it is. But it was a full circle of the kind of mom I wanted to be. But it was everything in a moment, that one, she wanted to be with me, and two, she can count on me to be nice to her.
That's awesome, Sydney. Way to go.
Thank you.
A good mom moment, for
real.
It
was an amazing mom moment, considering how many times I'm not my very best at home. But at least she could say the bulk of the time that if my mom is just caffeinated and she's had a good workout and we're listening to the right kind of music, she will be nice to me.
So make sure she has all those
if
things.
If she's had a few tacos, maybe a chimichanga, if I give her some of my ice cream, she'll be so nice to me. And I thought, that's beautiful.
She's figured out the secret sauce.
She was eating ice cream when I walked in from the gym today. I was like, where did you get that? And she's just like, I've got my ways.
Good for her.
She does.
Was it in your freezer, or did she magically get it?
There was a van that was driving around the neighborhood. No, she got it last night when we went grocery shopping together.
Oh,
and
got
then
it.
She only ate a little bit, put it in the freezer, which is impressive. I would have left it in the car and let it melt. So I'm proud of her. I'm very proud of her.
That is a proud mom moment. I'm proud of her too.
She's very
mature. Wait till you go to the gym and break out the ice cream. Way to go, girl. So when I was trying to study about this topic, I had a big nothing. All you have to say is just don't be a jerk and just be nice. And that's my level of thinking. It just stops right there. But one of my very best friends, her name is Jamie. So shout out Jamie. Ooh, ooh. Jamie is actually a professor, and she teaches stress management and mindfulness. So I text her and I said, could you help me out? Because I don't know what to say. And she was nice enough to send me one of her actual courses. I listened to Jamie talk about building relationships. So I pulled out a few things, and sorry, Jamie, if I ruin your work, because I am the one that actually watched and listened to Jamie's class. I want you to know that the academic level is now going to drop because I'm now interpreting it. So I apologize,
Jamie. And I appreciate
that,
so I could understand.
Thank you, but it would probably just be worse in all ways. One of the things that I got out of her lesson is what we've already talked about. So good job, us. We've talked about, if you want to have positive relationships, it needs to start with you. You're the one that needs to make sure you're sending out the good vibes so you can get the good vibes back. So good job, Sydney. You and I are doing what the Professor Jamie said so far. The next one, and you actually brought this up already as well.
I haven't even watched her.
I know. As
video
the kids
yet.
Say, Sydney is slaying it. Way to go, Sid.
I'm so lit. Above mid. W. Oh, Riz.
And she's wearing nice fits.
Drip. It's drip.
Fits. Outfits.
No, drip.
It's fits.
we are going to have to settle this.
What's
recording.
Drip?
Drip is like when your clothes are cool.
Oh.
All right, I'm going to Google that.
But I wasn't saying your clothes are cool. I was just saying you had on fits, like outfits. You have good outfits.
As opposed to, I'm not sitting here in the nude.
No. I'm just saying, we were saying two different things.
Just for the record, if you have the drip, it means you have swagger, especially in how you look. You're hot. You're cool. You're okay. On point.
All right, now look
You've
up
got
fits.
That sauce.
I was saying that I...
Did you hear that part? You've got that sauce.
That's good. But I was saying you had good fits. Like, your outfit looks stunning.
Now you're just lying because I literally am wearing... I am not the drip right now. It's an L.
I think you're
I am wearing leggings and my 13-year-old son's t-shirt. That's for real. You're right about the fit. That I know that it does mean like an outfit, but
right?
I don't think that it's like popular right now.
It is because I just heard it 85,000 times on the TV, which is why I said it.
On what? Like NPR?
No, it was on... I saw it on the NBA draft night because they kept talking about the draftees and their fits.
Makes sense. My only issue right now is which one is more trendy. I'm going to text Rock.
Okay, we're going to settle it.
Okay, because he's 13. But we'll continue on.
And we will get back to this.
There will be an outcome.
All right, so getting back to the point. The next thing that you
did. Can I tell you something, though?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Of a 13-year-old cool kid, his little brother messed up his room. Rock's out of town. Titus had friends over. They all went in his room, kind of messed it up. And left. So Rock sent a picture to me of how messy it was, like cereal, primes, drinks everywhere, total 10-year-old party. But he didn't send it to me. He sent it to a guy at church.
Oh my gosh.
And he's like, Mom, I sent a picture of my messy, messy room to a guy at church. And oops. I laughed so hard.
Did the guy at church say anything about his messy room?
Which is the worst.
Oh man, I would
give him a hard time. Be like, clean that.
Clean that messy room. All right, back to the point.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, the next thing is, you said this already. This was the whole point, is you got this one as well. And I said, Sydney is slaying it, and this is what started it all, is respect yourself and others. First, you need to respect yourself, and then you can respect others.
And when you're connecting with yourself, that can be really challenging, especially if you've had traumatic experiences or abusive relationships in your past. It's really hard. And I've had to learn how to do this because of disassociation, where you really are not connected. So if you needed to talk to somebody who's completely disconnected, hello, hi, I'm Sid. Thanks for being here. I've had to go through reconnecting with myself, and that has been incredibly difficult and incredibly beautiful. That for me has happened thanks to therapy. And I read the book, The Body Keeps the Score, and it was a very difficult, very rewarding read. But for those of us who are out there who are starting with this connecting with yourself at ground level zero, it's completely possible. It requires work and it does pay off. And I will just mention a few of the things that he suggested in the book, which I did all of them. One was EMDR therapy, and then it was acupuncture, getting massages, yoga, neurofeedback. I've tried all five of those things in different orders. Some of them worked really well for me, and some of them I tried twice and I was out. But he suggests, and he found in his studying, especially those who had childhood trauma and soldiers of war, they found that those five things helped more than anything. So I gave it a shot. And this has been an incredible experience for myself to learn how to connect with myself. It's a ripple effect. It starts with yourself and it affects all your other relationships if you do not learn how to connect with yourself. And it will come out in different ways. But if you're feeling you don't have anything to offer other people, then you're not going to try to build relationships. If you feel a lack of self-love or self-worth, that you don't have something to offer, then you do not reach out to other people. And we come up with different reasons, like we're too busy, we're introverted, but relationships are so critical. Telling you from experience, once I learned how to connect with myself, my life has changed. My thoughts have changed in every relationship, from my children to my husband to church friends to everywhere I go, has changed. Once you start to see and feel the value of who you are and you connect, your life will change and it is worth doing the work.
That's great advice. And I think that is really good. And it's important to remember, because we all are in different spots in our lives as far as connecting with ourselves. And I think that's something that we need to work on continually, because I feel like your self-esteem, at least my self-esteem, it kind of goes in and out. Sometimes I'm feeling okay about myself and sometimes not. I think it's okay if we recognize that and that we understand that we just need to keep working on it.
I like that. Do you know which one is like a bleep out?
I don't know if I have a bleep. I don't think I have a bleep. Yeah. I need to get one.
That would be funny, because I thought it would be really funny to talk about affirmation, but maybe you could put it in.
I can put it in.
Okay. It's so true, because sometimes people will say, just be more positive. Say some positive affirmations in the morning and then you'll be golden. But there's some people like me for the last 30 years whose positive affirmations started off like, I am and but that can change. You could truly change how you feel about yourself. Your first friendship has to be you. You have to love yourself. It's possible.
That was a lot of beeps, but that's good advice.
What can I say? I listen to a lot of rap. You should go to the next one.
Okay. The next bit of advice that I learned from my good friend is, I love this one, that we are all connected. As we go throughout our day, we're going to meet people. We're going to interact with people, whether it's at the store or driving or whatever it is. And obviously, we're going to be connected with people that we're close to, that we see in our everyday lives. But the important part is that our actions impact everyone, whether they are in our inner circle or in our outer circle. Whatever action we send out, we are going to get a reaction back. So what reaction do you want back? Do you want it to be positive or negative? And I'm just thinking, you're driving down the freeway and you cut somebody off. The reaction then is usually you get honked at, yelled at, somebody flips you off, but it's because of your action that you just did. You got the reaction that apparently you wanted. If you send out love and kindness and positive vibes, that's usually what you'll get back. What we say and what we do, it really does matter.
Even down to just a smile. They've done group studies where they've just had a person smile or frown. And they found that people mirror each other, that if the person comes in and they're frowning, then other people start to frown and look mopey. The opposite happened, that when someone is smiling, that they get that back. So exactly what you're saying, they found with just a simple smile versus a frown. And I was listening to this at the gym, so I started with my headphones on, just an experiment, like a weirdo. Oh,
I love this. Tell me about it. I love it.
At the end of my workout, I experimented, because I listened to the study during my workout and I smiled at the next people that walked by and they smiled back, except for one guy. I could still see him right now perfectly in my head. He did not smile at all. So it was pretty good though. It was like a 95% reaction. And then I totally mean faced the rest of the time. Nobody smiled at me, which was really hard. I was just like mean mugging people.
Oh my gosh.
Which is a lot of work for me.
I hope none of you ran into Sydney at the gym today.
If you
today.
Did, I'm so sorry, but you were an experiment. So it was true. It was exactly what they said. The people I smiled at smiled back and I felt really good and happy and the music hit better. And then when I was frowning, I got that back right there at the gym.
I don't know how you held a frowny face. I would have laughed. That's impressive that you
were able
to do
that. And
that
would have been worse if you were mean mugging somebody and then broke out into laughter by yourself.
That's true.
That's a next level experiment.
Yeah, I cannot do that one because I go to the same gym every day at the same time.
Do they think you're psychotic?
Okay, so I haven't been going to the same gym every day.
Because you got kicked out?
No, I was going to a different gym.
You were cheating on your gyms. That's what happened.
I have a membership to several. Oh. Some I never see.
It's because you do experiments like this. Yeah, you've got to just keep rotating.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not saying I'm getting in shape. I'm just saying I have a lot of memberships. I also go to a lot of fast food chains. There's a problem. But really, I have to tell you something that happened when I was preparing this. I took my children to go to a trampoline park to run around, and I was working on my notes for this, and I sat there with one AirPod in, and in the distance, I could hear a little girl, and she was yelling, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy," like on repeat, and I didn't look up. I just heard it. It was like white noise that you're not really paying attention to, but you know it's there. So for minutes, she was yelling for her mom, and it only connected because a girl that was sitting three chairs over from me, I noticed she got up. She walked around me. I was closer to this little girl. She walked all the way around me and she said, "Hi, do you need some help?" to the little girl. And she said, "Yes, please." Oh my gosh. I was sitting there listening to a talk about human connection serving others, helping one another, and being brave, while I ignored a little girl sitting on top of this little tower, and someone else went and helped her. That's real. That really happened. And I sat there and I thought, oh my gosh, the irony.
The application went right out the window.
Completely. I was sitting there learning. And then that girl, the sweet other mom, took notice. I watched and I noticed she had no AirPods in. She wasn't even on her phone. She was just sitting there watching all of her kids in different directions. She was completely aware and into the moment. I was not. I thought, okay, I'm doing something good here. I'm preparing for this. And I missed an opportunity for human connection. That little girl needed help. And I was oblivious. And I thought, we really are so connected unless we're so unaware and completely distracted, which I was. And when she sat down, I did say to her, I feel so embarrassed that I didn't even think to go and help her. And she's like, oh, don't even worry. I saw it. And then I was like, why did it take you so long? Just kidding. I didn't.
I was sitting there waiting for you to do something about it.
Why did you take so long to do that? I am trying to learn. What are you doing?
I'm learning how to be kind.
I'm learning how to be kind right now, you idiots.
Actually, going back to what you said, one of the words that I heard you say when you were explaining that lovely story of you sitting on your butt and not being helpful is you noticed that she was in the moment. And that's actually one of the things that Jamie suggested. Stay in the moment and don't carry around the baggage. You need to drop the baggage and just stay in that moment as you're building those relationships. So one, you need to let go of your baggage. And two, you need to not make everybody else carry around their baggage. I really, really dislike it when people bring up past mistakes and rub it in your face. That's really rude.
I also just truly felt so grateful for her example, because it was a straight up learning about something and studying it to then watching it actually be done. Right. Was incredibly humbling. I thought I'd been doing such a great thing here by learning and maximizing my time while I'm out. And I wondered, how many times have I missed an opportunity to actually have a real human connection? And I will say I've learned from the lesson, because I was going to prepare something at a soccer practice. And another mom, she sat by me and I was listening again to my AirPods, and I took them out and I put everything away, and we had a great time getting to know each other for an hour and a half while our kids played soccer. And I thought, how many times have I not done that? How many opportunities have I missed? Completely unaware, completely distracted.
But I think that's important to stay in that moment and to make those connections. In fact, I have a quote from Fred Rogers about this, staying in the moment and building those connections. It's, if you could only sense how important you are to the lives of those you meet, how important you can be to the people you may never dream of. So talking to another mom and getting to know her, that is so important. And you don't know the impact that it had on her. And I saw as you were talking about it, like your face lit up, you were happy to have that connection, because we really are all connected. And just making those relationships in our outer circle, that's important too.
Yeah, you're right. My face did light up that someone actually talked to me in public. It was a very pivotal moment for my life.
I'm glad you picked up what I was throwing down. That's exactly what I meant.
It's actually true, though, because I think sometimes we think nobody talks to me, nobody sees me. But my question is, who are you talking to and who are you seeing?
I agree. I know sometimes it's scary, because I am an introvert, to say something to other people. I will say this. Years ago, I had to go get something for work, and it was on a teacher work day, and another teacher went with me, and we had never been out and about together, and we had to go to like two different stores. So we walked into the first store, and I was just talking to the cashier, and then we left, and she said to me, did you know that person? And I said, oh, no. She's like, you didn't know them? And I was like, no. And then we went to the next store and we were walking out of that store again. And she asked me again about the cashier. Did you know that person? And I was like, no, I was just talking to them. And that's the day I realized that, yes, I may be an introvert, but I get nervous and then I tend to talk too much. And then apparently I act like I know everybody, which is good and bad. I don't know.
I do the exact same thing. Maybe that's really how we ended up where we are. Yeah. Doing a podcast together.
I get nervous, so I'm just blabbing on the podcast.
Like suddenly you're committed to a podcast.
Exactly. Like,
what has happened?
But in truth, though, Sydney and I did not know each other. We just barely got to know each other. And so this whole relationship, I can relate to it just with you, because honestly, we were just introduced to each other at church and it just kind of went from there.
It was a, hey, you guys should do a podcast together. And then she's like, do you want to do a podcast? And I was like, yeah, here we are. We didn't know one thing about each other, but we took a chance. And sometimes you have to. I know a lot of people are trying to make friends and you have to take a chance. You have to put yourself out there. It's worth it.
Yeah. So far, sometimes. So good, Sydney. And speaking of, the next thing on the list fits in perfect, except that we have positive and negative emotions. So sometimes it could be good. Sometimes it can be bad.
Sometimes we'll find out in a few more episodes if we're still here.
But I really love this advice is, when we act poorly, because we all are going to, we're all going to say something or do something that is stupid, and we need to learn from it. Instead of doing the same mistake over and over and over again in our relationships, fix it, learn from it, and move on.
Yeah, that's good.
The next one, I really love this one. Be kind and not judgmental. The phrase that Jamie used over and over again is, remember that everyone is perfectly imperfect. And that's really good advice. So like Sydney was saying, it all starts with us. If we are judging ourselves harshly, then we're going to throw that out at people and we're going to judge others harshly. We need to stop that. Let's not be so critical of ourselves so we can stop being critical of others.
Right. It's the practice, the pause that we've talked about in other episodes. Pause for a second and maybe ask yourself why you're judging somebody else. Where is that coming from? Because more often than not, it might be hitting a nerve with you. And one of my friends and I just talked about this because she said that, I won't say her name because I'm just throwing her under the bus right now, but she said that she's always wanted to get on social media and share some of her gifts and her talents, but she hasn't, mostly due to fear, doubt, and busy life. She's incredibly gifted. And she said that when she gets on, she feels kind of angry that other people have done it, thinking, I could have done that better. And she realizes that when she sits and thinks about it, what the problem really has always been is that she wanted to do something and she hasn't done it yet and someone else is doing it. And then that correction of that person is doing an incredible job and they're doing it, good for them. The problem is that I'm feeling is not anything towards that person. It's all directed at me and accepting the fact that I haven't done something. So when I see someone else who's done what I've wanted to, I have some negative feelings. That's so much more honest and you could work with that. You can't work with just throwing your judgment at someone else because you're really upset with yourself. But if you recognize why you're upset at yourself, then you can change.
I think we all do that too. I know that I have done that. I've been mad at somebody or judge somebody because they have a certain life or they look like this or whatever, but really it's me. It's because I'm not happy where I am in my life. And so I throw it on somebody else. You're right. I think we all do that.
I think so too. I think the key word is happy. When you're not happy, it's super easy to want to bring someone else down. Even if that's not your normal personality, you can be prone to doing that when you're unhappy. So instead of throwing that out there, just take time for the pause, take time for the stillness and the silence and figure out why you're not happy and what you actually do need to do to change it. Because when you do that, the inner circle that will grow is going to be so much more beautiful and exciting and joyful than the other one that's going on.
No, that's good advice. One more thing. One of the gifts that I feel I've been given is I usually assume the best in other people. And honestly, that's how I got through teaching middle school for so long. I always assume the best of my students until they prove otherwise. And that's usually how I am with everybody. But I'm going to admit that really does lead to disappointment and hurt. Because when you're always assuming the best in other people, then sometimes they're going to let you down. And over the course of my life, I've realized that I would rather get hurt and disappointed and keep assuming the best in others and not judging people because I don't want to be that person. I don't want to turn into the person that judges people. I don't ever want to be that person. So I'm going to assume the best in others and take the every once in a while getting hurt by it any day of the week than being the opposite of that. Plus, honestly, I'm too dumb to notice when people are jerks usually. I just don't notice. I'm not very observant. But you probably would have frowned at me at the gym and I wouldn't have noticed.
I know. I buzzed my head and you haven't said anything.
I know, right? I just ignored it because I don't notice. And the last one is, we've sort of talked about it, is you can't give what you don't have. Here's another Fred Rogers quote. And thanks, Jamie, for letting me steal all your stuff. But everyone longs to be loved. And the greatest thing we can do is to let people know that they are loved and capable of loving.
There was a doctor of psychology who shared a story about giving a speech about the importance of human connection, that it actually does something for your brain when you connect with others. And in a brain scan, it will light up certain parts of your brain when you have connected a simple hello, a smile, simple. And so she shared the science behind it, and it really impacted a specific girl who was a student at the college that she spoke at. And the girl said, I'm going to listen and I'm going to act on this. And there was one girl in the dorm room that she stayed at that everybody avoided. She was a gloomy, dark personality, and nobody talked to her. She was completely by herself. And she said that was the girl she was going to smile at. So every single time she saw her, she smiled for an entire month. The girl, every single time, glared back until the last day when there was an interaction. And the girl that had been smiling was stopped by the girl who had not been smiling. And the girl that had been in a dark place put her hand on the other girl's shoulder and she said, thank you. Thank you for seeing me. I think that goes perfectly with what you're saying, that in order to receive, you have to put it out there. And again, it's such a simple thing. It's a smile. The other girl got to be seen, which is incredibly important. But the girl that has been smiling, she had a life-altering moment to understand the importance of a lesson she learned, the application, and then the experience that it brought.
And really, when it all comes down to it, that really is what it's all about. We go to the two great commandments. God wants us to love God with all our heart and to love your neighbor as thyself. And learning from my friend Jamie, and actually from Sydney, who has been teaching me a lot about self-care, I realized something when I reread this scripture. I know it's called the two great commandments, but it's almost like there's three in there, because God said to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor, there's the second one, and yourself. I had never realized that before, that those three are all part of the equation. I always looked at it, treat people like you would want to be treated, which is true, but God is also saying you need to love yourself. And that's where it starts. And not being egotistical and arrogant, but truly take care of yourself and love yourself. And then you can extend a hand and share that love with your neighbor, your inner and outer circle.
I love all of the tips that Jamie shares. Those are helpful and good.
Yeah, thank you, Jamie.
I think it's also really important to address loneliness, because a lot of us are afraid to reach out when we're feeling lonely, thinking that everybody has 100 friends. That's not the case. According to the most recent statistics. I can't say it.
It was perfect. You said it perfectly.
I'm so lonely.
This is why people are lonely, is they have people like me that they're pouring out their soul.
And you have more friends.
And then I just make fun of you.
Okay. According to the most recent study.
Yeah, that was good. Just leave out statistics. Just throw it right out.
I'm going to practice that. Statistics.
You just said it. Good job.
The pressure was off. According to the most recent statistics, it shows that close to 33% of people in the U.S. experience loneliness. They say 61% of the younger people in the U.S. say they are chronically lonely. And 51% of mothers of young children also report feeling lonely.
That is terrible.
That's actually heartbreaking. And the doctor of psychology, she also talked about loneliness, and she said it's a greater risk to our health than smoking, obesity, and high blood pressure. It causes depression. It causes anxiety. It increases the risk of suicide. Also, I thought it was interesting, very violent, especially children. It is always pinned back to a lack of relationships and loneliness.
Wow, that is daunting, really. It's terrible. That actually fits right in with a study that was done by Harvard University. They did a study on happiness, and it started in the 1930s. They got some teenagers there about 18 or 19 years old, and they started studying them and followed them throughout their lives. Now they're in their late 80s and 90s, and they're still doing the study. And when they first started the study, they asked these teenage boys, it started with boys and then evolved into girls as well, but they asked these young men what they wanted out of their life. And most of them said the same thing. They wanted fame and they wanted wealth. And then they followed them their whole lives to see what happened. And they learned that wealth, fame, whatever your status is, that did not matter. what mattered to have a happy life was building those relationships. So this goes back into what you were saying, is that really right now we have an epidemic due to whatever you want to blame it on, COVID, social media, computers, video games, whatever. But the point is we have this epidemic because we're not building those human connections. And along with this, they've learned from this study. Now, remember, these people are now in their 80s and 90s, that not only did it lead to building positive, strong relationships and more happiness, but it also was tied directly into their health. They had better health, they had better memories, and overall their quality of life was better. And it was all based on building relationships.
That reminded me of three tips that were given to build your connection muscle. And I like the idea of it being a muscle because you have to slowly get better at it. Like first talking to the cashier maybe and trying some things out and then maybe hitting on some other moms at the park for a friendship. She says to give space to all of our true feelings. Sit with yourself and figure out how you're actually feeling, which we talked about. Are you happy? And if you're not happy, why? Sit with those feelings and be honest about how you feel. It's okay to feel ways that you don't think you're supposed to feel. There is not a way you're supposed to feel. There's a way that you feel. Sit with that and know how you're feeling and start there. And she said to tell the truth to yourself and to others. And I have to tell you that I was friends with a girl, casual friends all through high school with my friend Valaine. And we did a lot of things together in a group. And it was so funny because after high school, there was a specific phone call. I had moved to Utah. She was still in Arizona. And we were just chatting a little bit. And I suddenly just told her something so honest. I opened up and I was completely honest to her. She was completely honest with me. It was a moment in our relationship that completely changed everything. And we just knew from that point on, we could always be completely honest with each other, no matter what it was, how bad, how ugly, however we were feeling. And we have talked nearly every single day, whether text or calls or Marco Polo, since 2004.
That's awesome.
Lifelong friends. And it started in a moment of telling the truth. It changed our entire friendship.
Along with telling the truth, what you see on social media isn't necessarily the truth.
Unless you're following Sid Beer.
Then that's all the truth.
70% truth.
People, except for Sid, will put their very best moments out there for the public to see. Then we start comparing ourselves. That isn't really their true self. You're not seeing all the crazy that's going on behind the scenes.
Because we all have crazy going on behind the scenes. And I'm glad you brought that up because I found that the study they did with the percentage was surprising when we live in a world of networking, to know how many people are feeling alone in a crowd. And it's because I believe what you're saying, that we share a surface level because we want to be likable. We want likes and that's it. So I'm going to give you what I think you will like versus what Valaine and I have built, which is I have something that's not that great about me. And I have this in my history that is not that pretty. And to get in return, so do I. Let's be friends. Let's move forward together. Right. And to then what I've had with her is we have grown up together. We've gone through parenting together, losses and heartaches together. And it's been so wonderful. That is available out there. You can't have Valaine. You have someone else. But it is out there. But I do believe you have to be so honest. But again, that goes back to knowing what you want and who you want to be.
Yeah. And also, instead of being excited that you got 1,000 likes, be more focused on the fact of the quality of friends that you actually have with that human connection. It's the quality, not the quantity of your friends, your true friends, like your friend.
Yeah. So if you could just pause your podcast right now and go like all my posts, that would be great because what she said's good, but I'm trying to get more likes than some girls from high school. Anyway, back to the podcast. Thanks. Welcome back. Thank you for doing that task. The last one was to realize we're not alone. I think this is incredibly important. For myself, I can compare it to a time where I felt entirely alone as a new mom. And I felt like everybody had mom friends but me. And I had no idea how to make a friend when I had a little child with me. I had no idea what to do. And it just felt that everybody had friends. And meeting my first friend as a mom, I realized so many of us are alone. So many of us are trying to figure it out. And so many of us need someone to maybe make the first move. So you just need to be brave enough to make the first move. I have made the first move so many times at the park, and I was really great at making mom friends because of it. And then you have to learn how to make friends again when your kids are growing up. And then when you're retiring, it's a process, but
you can do it. It never stops.
It never stops. And that ultimately leads us to the fact that we are not alone when it comes to spiritual matters as well. That even in our darkest moments, when it feels the most bleak, that we're not alone. There's spiritual help, there's spiritual guidance. And I'm sure a lot of us have felt a presence in our life where there was an unseen presence there. And it's because we aren't alone. And especially during our darkest times, we may not be able to see it, but you can sense it and you can feel it.
And also everything that we've been talking about on building relationships, that applies to God. Being kind, being nice, not judging people, letting go of the baggage, making connections with each other. That same concepts all apply to God. And God wants us to build that relationship with him because we're his kids. He loves us and he's going to take us however we are because we're his children. I do want to throw in just a few others. Be grateful for what you do have. Serve each other and pray. And that relationship with God is going to increase. This leads us to our final thoughts. The first thought is Fred Rogers said, "The connections we make in the course of a life, maybe that's what heaven is." Remember that for one hot minute. And then I want to remind you of the study on happiness that was done by Harvard. What made people the happiest? It wasn't fame. It wasn't fortune. It was building positive relationships. That's what was most important. Now, those two things, just remember those. When I was getting ready to leave college, I left a little bit earlier than I wanted to because I moved back home to do my student teaching. And it was really hard because I had built some really awesome relationships with people. And I was having a hard time letting that go because I knew in my heart that some of these people I probably would never see again, just because we were going different directions and doing different things. Knowing that, I was really sad. But then I had this thought come to me that the relationships that I had built in college, I would be able to have that relationship again in the next life in heaven. That gave me such calm and it made it so that I could move on to the next stage of my life. Now, over the years, I've taught for 32 years and I have made some awesome connections with some incredible students, but I can't keep that relationship going with all the thousands of the students that I've taught. It's impossible. Plus, your memory fades and you can't remember it. But going back to what Fred Rogers said, maybe that's what heaven is. In the next stage of our life, we get to keep all of these connections that we've built, all this effort that we put into building these positive relationships in your inner and outer circle. And with God, we get to keep it forever. So think about this. Building positive relationships is what will make you happy in life. And then we get to take it with us. You don't get to take the fame and the fortune and the status. But we do get to take what we've learned and our relationships. And that, I believe, is truly what heaven is all about.
And for some of us, maybe there'll be a dozen people and you'll be like, this is what I'm talking about. This is what I wanted. That's okay too.
Absolutely.
When you go out this week, the Steve story about the car, take some of that junk out of your life, your mind, and open up yourself to receiving the life that you want by connecting with yourself and figuring out who you are and who you want to be and remembering whose you are. And we challenge you this week to be brave and talk to someone new. Put away your phone. Don't put an AirPod in. Meet somebody new this week. Someone completely new talk to. You can do it.
You can do it, but don't get kidnapped.
I don't think kids are listening to our podcast. Mine is Rock, don't get kidnapped. I will be very upset at you. Mom will be very, very mad.
Have a good week. Meet a new friend.
But for real, do it.
Wait. Before we end, did Rock reply?
Oh, he did. Okay, let's see.
Drip or fit?
He said, they mean completely different things.
Fit. Thank you. That's what I said.
I already forgot what I said, so. He said, fit is the outfit. Drip is how good the fit is. You can have a bad fit, but you can't have a bad drip.
And on that note, have a good week.
I'm forging my way through the tip-tip top.